You want your child to thrive and reach their full potential. K-12 can help them get there. K-12-powered schools are tuition-free, accredited online public schools for students in kindergarten through 12th grade. This is not your typical homeschooling. With state-certified teachers specially trained to teach online, your child will learn at their speed, at home, with innovative, engaging technology. Join the more than 3 million families who've chosen K-12. Go to k12.com/podcast to enroll today.
Hannah Murray on TRE in the afternoon.
Joining us on the line now is John Robb. He's many things. He's a bassist and singer, as well as being a best-selling author, radio and TV presenter, DJ, publisher and model. He was the journalist chosen by Noel Gallagher for the exclusive Definitely Maybe 30th anniversary interview. His new book, Live Forever, The Rise and Fall and Resurrection of Oasis, is the definitive book on Britain's biggest band. He peels back the layers of Manchester's best known musical export, revealing a tale of ambition, ego, talent and a whole lot of attitude. From the estates of South Manchester to the dizzying heights of global stardom, Live Forever is a roller coaster ride through the Gallagher brothers' turbulent lives and the music that defined a generation. Welcome to the show, John. Hi, John, are you there?
Yeah, I am.
Hi, thanks for joining us. So very, very exciting, this book, and obviously extremely exciting for Oasis fans that they're now back on tour, which has been much discussed and anticipated for many years. Yeah. Have you seen it yet? Did you get tickets?
So I've done the Manchester one because I've been the Manchester one. I mean, already Cardiff sounds like an amazing gig, but in the hometown, I don't think you can get it any better than that, can you?
Absolutely. Sorry, the connection isn't good. I didn't really get what you said. You're seeing them in Manchester, you said?
Yeah, Manchester on Friday, yeah.
Oh, brilliant. Yeah. Exciting stuff. You've seen them many times before, I know.
Oh, loads, yeah, right back in the early days when there wasn't 75,000 people there. There wasn't 75.
Oh, amazing. I've seen
They weren't that much different, that thing, innit, but... Right. I guess with any band, I mean, it's only when people actually find out about you they could get into you. It's not the audience's fault, is it? Yeah,
definitely. And it's amazing how that they haven't kind of changed a lot over the years. It's just more and more people have known about them. The sound is very much the same, and it is a recognisable sound. I mean, a lot of people will say and know that they took a lot of influence from the Beatles, but I still think they have a unique sound.
Oh, completely unique sound, and it's not just the Beatles. In fact, it's quite hard to find more than 10 direct Beatles, nicks in their songs. You know, there's glam rock in there, there's T-Rex, Slade, all those great bands I grew with. Sex Pistols is in there, that wall of sounds, and then loads of other stuff. I mean, I think the Beatles one's an obvious comparison, but it's not the whole story at all, is it?
No.
And like you say, they do have their own sound. You know, it's unique, isn't it? Liam's voice is unique. He's one of the great British rock and roll singers, and Noel writes really great songs. I mean, all songwriters are just synthesizing all their favorite tunes into a new tune, aren't they?
Yeah.
It's just how well you hide it is the trick.
Yeah, definitely. And tell us about their relationship, because it has been difficult, to say the least, over the years. And even now, them being back together, there's still constantly discussions in the press. Oh, what if they walk away from the tour, or one of them walking off stage, or this kind of stuff? What's it been like, their relationship?
It looks fine to me. I mean, they look like getting on really well. I think most bands don't always get on all the time. I mean, the thing about them is they always told you, didn't they? Always, their hearts are on the sleeve, aren't they? So, you know, if they had a fight, you'd hear about it. But loads of other bands that people think get on really well have been massive fights backstage. I can't tell you now, but it's not unusual. But often for a year, they would get on, you know, just touring around the world. It's quite high pressure, isn't it? I mean, obviously, it's a really well-paid job, and it's fun, but it's also a lot of pressure on the time, and that does sort of create tension, which creates the occasional sort of bit of a handbag, doesn't it?
Yeah. So. Yeah, all these things, as you say, can happen with a lot of bands. It's ever so common for them falling out and a clash of egos and personalities and things like that. I suppose it makes it harder, the fact that they're brothers. They know each other really well. You know, they've grown up together and they really kind of know each other's insecurities. And I guess in a way that can sometimes make working together harder when you're family.
Oh, yeah, you know exactly the weak points of the person. And also, I think that, with, you know, with siblings, and I think anyone listening to this can identify with that, is the thing that gets on your nerves about your sibling is kind of you reflecting back at yourself, isn't it? You think, I hate the way my sister laughs. Oh, that's how I laugh, you know? So is that. And also, you have to remember that they spent 16 years sharing a bedroom in a council house in Burnage. It was a small house, you know. So they already spent 16 years squashed together, then joined a band, spent another 16 years squashed together. Most people don't live their lives like that. It's just a really weird way of living your life. And also because they're volatile, which is great. I think rock and roll needs that. I think there's too many bands clocking in and out in there. They're boring, just do it as a job. I think all the great rock and roll bands, they do a great show, but there's an element of chaos. And the idea, you're not quite sure if they'll finish the tour or not, I think it's a good thing in a way, isn't it? It makes it a little bit more exciting. It's like a tightrope, isn't it?
Yeah.
I mean, there are lots of modern bands, and they'll just be going to the grave, won't they? Clock in, clock out, 9 to 5, rock and roll. It's just a contradiction in terms, isn't it? You need that element of danger. You need the idea the wheels may be about to come off, but they won't. Yeah.
Yeah. And in terms of who does what in the band, I think anyone who's a fan will know the answer to this, but anyone who doesn't, can you just sort of explain people's roles?
There's a very simple basic formula, I think, and it's Noel writes and Liam sings them. I mean, there are some songs that Liam writes and there are some songs that Noel sings, but the basic core of the greatness of Oasis is exactly that. So Noel Gallagher is one of the great songwriters. You know, luckily, his younger brother is one of the great frontmen, and he found him in his bedroom. Oh, look, there you are. He's just one of those lucky things. And, you know, they both ended up in the same band, which is great. It's not easy, is it? I saw that about the Beatles. How did John and Paul end up deciding to be in the same band? Most people go, I'm not having him in the band. This is mine. Or yeah. I want it all to myself. So it was a smart move to share it. But then the other guys in the band were important. I mean, Bonehead's wall of guitar, wall of guitar sound, it's really crucial, you know, that. I mean, just the sheer volume that makes it really exciting, you know. And they've got a couple of guys in the newer lineups, you know, and Andy Bell, both great players. They both totally get it as well, you know. They're both from that background of, like, indie bands, you like punk and 60s psychedelia. There's somewhere in the middle of all that is Oasis, you know. And Oasis made it their own, didn't they? It's amazing, this tour, isn't it? The hysteria, isn't it? It's quite remarkable to see. Definitely. I don't think any comeback tour is this the king of comeback tours. It's usually, you know, like, you know, they could have been half as good at Cardiff and people just sung along and gone home happy. So, you know, everyone's coming out and gigs and they've never seen him sound, look, feel better, you know. You know, but they've really put the work in to make this good, haven't they?
Yeah, definitely. And the videos I've seen of various friends at concerts and sharing on social media, everyone is jumping up and down, knowing the words, all singing along. I mean, it really looks like an amazing night out for an Oasis fan.
Yeah, no, I mean, you could be a hardcore fan or just somebody you grew up in the 90s, I think. They defined that decade, didn't they? I mean, yeah. No, not everyone's going to like it. I mean, even if people didn't like your band, you were the generational band, they've got an opinion on you, which is great, isn't it? But there's also four or five songs that go beyond the band. So everybody kind of knows, kind of heard, and nearly everybody likes them. Universal songs, aren't they? And it's, so they did, in a lot of ways, soundtrack the 90s for so many people. And that's important as well. And yeah, you know, because they're really tight and they've really got it together, it's showing respect to that audience as well, you know, because like I'm saying, they could have done that show and half the effort and got away with it. But I think it's almost like they're going, we mean that much to these people. We've got to make the effort to make this really good.
Yeah.
You know, because it's just a way of going back to your childhood for a lot of people. And this is back to being a teenager, you know, those 2 years of your life when you're totally free. You don't have to mow the lawn or argue with your wife or husband, whatever, like real life stuff, you know, and then your friends start dying and stuff when you get older. Oh. So that's what great bands are, you know, they remind you of that moment of life It's full beam. You're totally free. And as and in the song title basis, you feel like you're going to live forever, you know?
Yeah, definitely. And I love how, even though I was saying earlier, they have a unique sound, there's such a variety to their songs and music. You know, they've got some songs that are really kind of hard rock with the guitar and everything and really loud songs, and others that are really beautiful. And, you know, some of the acoustic ones, Talk Tonight, and really, really soft and gentle. And it's amazing to be able to do both so well.
Agree. That's one thing I wrote about the book, and that's why I find them so fascinating, you know, because most bands are pretty good at one thing, and they could do a couple of things that sort of line up but slightly different. But it's almost like there's two bands going at the same time. On the A side, huge anthemic anthem, swaggering, makes you feel great. And the B side, a really introspective song, you know, and it's you know, saying things that people, a lot of the fans would like to say but can't. And that's another great thing the great bands do, isn't it? Putting into words feelings that you have, but you don't really want to say.
Yeah.
says he is a northerner. It's just like, you know, listen to that. That's what I'm feeling.
Well, they are. I mean,
later on, they change the sound quite a lot. And people never go on about the later records, you know, and people always say, oh, you only need the first two albums. But the later records, they really did some pretty interesting arty stuff as well, you know, like little drum and bass loops and backwards guitars, and but still like pop music, you know. Still, it's always been about songwriting, melodies and pop, you know. So whatever style they do, it's still a pop song, isn't it? Yeah. Like the Beatles did. The Beatles could do any style. I mean, they even did almost like silly songs, you know, like Dixie's Diner, which is a great song. And it's, I mean, like Beatles did Yellow Submarine, which I love, you know. I like it when people dare to do songs that aren't ostensibly as cool, but they are.
Yeah, definitely. And it always kind of felt that they weren't, you know, they weren't putting out songs that they felt like people wanted, or songs that would like make the money, that kind of commercial aspect that we see so often. They'd always felt like really authentic songs that Noel had properly sat down and come up with these really great lyrics to a beautiful song. You know, it felt really authentic all the time.
Yeah, I think in a way they just knew they were right, and they just waited for people to come to them. In fact, knowing them from that period before they made it, that was kind of the vibe around them. Not in a big headed way, you know. If you are a really good songwriter, what are you going to? You can't pretend you're not, can you? And if you're Liam Gallagher, you can't be all humble and say, "Oh, I just walk on stage, no idea what I'm doing." I mean, of course he knows he's one of the great frontmen. It's just it's what he does, isn't it? Like everybody, people are good at things, aren't they? So, for those 18 months, they're just waiting for the crowd to turn up. When they did, they turned up pretty fast, didn't they? And, but they didn't bend their sound, did they? So what people forget is for those 18 months, they were so far out of fashion. You know, people in London were saying, there's going to be no more bands in Manchester. It's had its turn, right? You have a turn. And people looked at them as being, you know, we've had the Stone Roses, we've had the Smiths, we've had all that stuff in the North. No way, this band's retro, they're not going to make it. But it took the brilliance of Alan McGee and Creation Records to spot them at that famous Glasgow gig. People in London were saying to Alan, what are you signing them for? That stuff's over. But he said, it's the best band of all time. And he's proven right, wasn't he? You know, it's sometimes I think if any musicians listen to this, you do have to swim upstream, you know. You do what you do, and hopefully people come to you. And I think Oasis are a great example of that, aren't they?
Yeah. And with Liam being such a great frontman, as you say, it's funny how for some of the same attributes that he has, some people will love him for it and other people who aren't fans will hate him for it. You know, there'll be a lot of people who aren't fans that just think he's an arrogant idiot. But for people who are fans, that's why they love him.
Yeah, that's part of it, isn't it? You know, everybody stands in front of a band is splitting opinion in a room, isn't it? It's like, you know, at the very best, isn't it? I mean, the very worst is if nobody even notices you that you're there, isn't it?
Yeah.
I mean, and you need a level of arrogance to go out in front of it, don't you? Because basically you are saying, look at me, I'm the coolest person in the room. And people have the right to shout back. No, you're not. But idiot, certainly not an idiot. I mean, no. Them two and their older brother, Paul, some of the smartest people I've met in Manchester. Smart and funny, you know, and they know exactly what they're doing as well.
Yeah, brilliant. And tell us about this interview that you did with Noel Gallagher. I know some of it comes into the book as well from the Definitely Maybe anniversary.
Well, that was annoying. I couldn't, because I still had the contract still, so I couldn't use any of that excuse.
Oh, okay.
Everyone else quotes it, isn't it? I've seen it quoted all over the world, like endlessly, you know. And I'm the only person that can't actually quote it. So I had to do, I did another interview with Noel. I did one, a really in-depth one, right at the end of the book, when I just knew what I needed from him. So I went to his studio. We did a good 3-hour, could have been 10-hour chat, you know. Because we've known each other so long. I mean, I'm not a best friend of his, but I'm a mate of his, you know. And we're into some of the same stuff. And we went to London gigs in Manchester years ago, and we're both music heads, you know, and people like him or Johnny Marr or those people, you just know their music. You talk about any style of music and they know it, they've heard it, they have an opinion on it. I love those conversations, you know, because too many people, we don't have to be a musical encyclopedia to be into music, but it does make for a great conversation. Yeah. I just keep thinking, wait a minute, I'm losing track of where the book is. I've got to go back on the book thing, because we just talked about some obscure band from Manchester that everyone's forgotten about from years ago, you know, that you love still to this day. Yeah.
So when did you speak to him? When did you do this interview?
That was early March. So it was about 4 weeks from the end of the book. So I knew what I wanted, to drop all the quotes in to finish the book off. But the Death and Maybe one, which is like the famous one, that, I mean, it was great to do that. And he asked me to come and do it. It's the 30th anniversary one. So that was done a year ago. And it's the one where he softened his stance to Liam, you know, and he said that, you know, he said he could sing it, the songs, but he's a bit like he's a pint of Guinness and Liam's like tequila, you know, like Liam adds that little extra to it that just makes some amazing songs. And, you know, and he wasn't off, at least in orphan, and we don't compliment people a lot up here, you know. You know what they feel. You don't have to gush about it. Nobody gushes in Manchester. So but he gave a little nod to me, and it was really nice. And people go, oh, that's interesting. And then 3 days later, they announced the Reformation. So that interview's done 3 months before. So it looks like they were sort of announcing the Reformation in that interview.
Oh, yeah. But it was all down to you.
Yeah, I got them back together. I'm waiting for my percentage, yeah.
Nice one. So I'm really hoping that they're talking about doing a European tour, aren't they, which will be amazing, because I couldn't get tickets back in the UK. So if they come to Spain, I am there.
You'd have to be quick, because I think they'll sell out across Europe. It's not like they're not a uniquely British thing anymore. You know, they've become, this tour has proven how big they are worldwide. Like, you know, 280,000 capacity venues in LA, which they're bigger now than when they were going. So, I mean, what a lot of people are hoping is that as they go around on the tour, they're going, this is just too good to stop.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, you never know.
At the moment, it's got a cut-off point and that's it, going back to solo careers. But I think all the best bands, they sort of have a plan, but you don't have to stick to it, you know. I mean, Noel could be right now, he's obviously listening to this, isn't he, you know, but strumming on his acoustic guitar, and he goes, that chord, that would sound great if Liam sang that. Yeah. And look, it's a new song. I mean, nobody ever has to say never, you know, nobody has to say, no, we said we weren't going to carry on, so we won't. You know, that doesn't have to be, you know, you can change your mind anytime you want. That's the right of an artist, isn't it? You don't explain, you just do stuff. So hopefully they will. I mean, at the moment, zero chance. But you just don't know how these situations change. More gigs, maybe. Maybe I think they make a great new record. I think they can make a great older record. They can write very well about getting older and losing friends. You know, the introspective songs, but also that you are older and you still want a great time. You still want to swagger about and do crazy stuff. You know, I think there's a record there, you know, to be made.
Definitely. I'll get back in touch with Noel, tell him what you just said. That sounds good. I reckon he could write the record.
It's his prerogative. I mean, he's making great solo records. He doesn't need to do this at all, does he? You know, his solo records are good. You know, the last album was a really good record, you know, like a record about growing up, really, and growing up in Manchester. It was more to buy a craft for calling it. It's a lyrically really interesting record. I mean, even the last video he made was great because I'm in it.
Brilliant.
I'm the barman, the psychotic barman in the video.
That's cool. Oh, I need to go back and watch it. What's the song?
It was the last single off the album that he did. Okay. So we went and filmed it a couple of years ago. Yeah.
I'll go and find it. I'll see if I can find it. That'll be good. Well, if people want to get a copy of the book, Live Forever, The Rise, Fall and Resurrection of Oasis, it's out now. It's available on our website, tre.radio, and it's by John Robb, who we've been chatting with today. John, thanks so much for joining us.
Well, thank you. Thanks for your time. And hopefully you'll get to see them.
Yes.
In Spain.
Fingers crossed. If not, I'm emailing you. Thanks,
I'll see what
John.
I can do, yeah. All right, bye.
Take care.
Bye-bye.
Things we find behind the sun. So what's the
Oasis and Stand By Me.